We're glad you're here this morning. We just want to quick talk about our COVID. As you can see, our seats are spread out for you guys. Last week we appreciate you guys so much. You guys were very honorable of people's space, and so we just want to make sure we continue that today. We kind of put chairs in kind of groups of four. So if you need more chairs, feel free to grab another chair if your family is bigger than four. So just make family groups be great. And just, again, remember that, you know, everybody's on a journey and we don't quite know where that journey is. So just be thoughtful for people. Can we do that today? Good. Awesome.
It's good to be together, isn't it? I tell you, it's just good to see people, you know, and be within this distance. But it's, you know, we did two drive-through communion services in the time when we couldn't do it. Some of you participated in those. I got to tell you, the greatest joy of that was just seeing people come through and be able to say hi and check on them and all that kind of stuff. It's tough when you're family and you can't be with family. And this is family. And I know that we all kind of feel, Ryan, you deserted me. Get up, back up here. Please. Please, son. Please, son, that I am well pleased in. Please. Let's do some banter here. We got a few minutes. People are still coming in and trying to find their way. You know, we tried to send out notice that we were going to be doing a little different this morning with our speaking time at the beginning for some real significant purposes. Tried to help people know to be here on time. But, you know, this is California. What do you say? Sometimes it doesn't pay to fight the culture, right? Sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, Ryan, I was just thinking about the stuff that's gone on even this week out of the mission that I'm really proud of. You know, we've had Mark and Tammy have done a night watch. Was it from 10 to 1 or from 10 o'clock in the evening till 1 in the morning? And many of you have joined in on that and been praying for our cities around here, for the fires, for the destruction in Fairfield, all of those things. And I got to tell you, that has really made a difference.
Yeah,
your prayer really makes a difference. Come on, wake up. Wake up. It really makes a difference, and you can feel it in the atmosphere, and I believe that it has stopped a lot of that violence that was planned for this area. So I want to really thank them for doing that. I mean, they've been magnificent during the whole COVID thing. Just fantastic. Yeah. And then, Ryan, you did a video clip that just invited some people. Why don't you tell us what
that's
like?
Yeah, so we did a video clip on Facebook, just inviting people. We want to hear people's stories. We want to hear people, what they're going through right now in our nation. And particularly, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from your heart and what your perspective on what's going, you know, what happened with George Floyd and the race issue that we're dealing with, that racism that we're going after to destroy. So we want to hear from you. So we did a Facebook Live or video to open up avenues for you to so we can hear your voice. So thank you for those that have sent in videos or emails expressing. We really appreciate that. We'd love more. So please send in your videos and emails. You can do that through our website, or you can do it through Messenger on Facebook. But we want to hear from you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today later on.
Yeah, we will. And how many of you had a chance to watch Matt Gonzalez's Zoom call on Facebook Live? Wasn't that fantastic?
With Sean Smith.
I mean, Sean just has such a kingdom mindset and a kingdom heart. Some of you don't know Sean. Sean is a black prophet and preacher that has fed into this community on several occasions. Deb and I have known him, since we were like in our 20s, ministering up in Petaluma. He got older. We didn't. That's the blessing of the pastorate, you know. We just don't grow older. We just grow old. but he's just has fantastic ability to understand all the issues and really speak into them. So if you didn't watch that, I encourage you can still do that on Facebook. I don't know if it's on YouTube or not.
Is it on YouTube? Yes.
Okay, great. I'd watch it on YouTube. It just helps give perspective in this time. And that's what we want to kind of kind of try to do this morning too, is just give some perspective. But one of the things that came out this week that I think were especially helpful. Oh, you know, our church, I sent out a request that we would join Valley Church with Jeremy White and
Father South.
David Patterson is the one that put it out there, and we just jumped online with it. And Valley Church, I notified Jeremy what was going on, and Jeremy jumped online with us. And so we've been praying. We had 3 days of fasting and prayer this week. And then at 7:14 on three nights in a row, we just encouraged everybody to stop and pray at 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will humble themselves and pray. And so we did that this week. So, you know, this is a time for the church to come alive. Not the time to remain shaken or fearful. It's the time for us to come alive as a church and be the church that Jesus said would, you know, he said it will go against the very gates of hell. That the gates of hell would not be able to stand against the offensive church, right? And so we get to be that right now. I mean, that's the church we have sought for so long, to find that church that Jesus was talking about in that time. And it's in times like that we get to stand up and be that church. So it's good. It's been a good week. Hey, and businesses are opening up. Did you see the unemployment numbers? Wow. It was great. And the employment numbers, even better. Right? What they were expecting to be way down was way up. Just thankful for that. And just thanking God that we're getting back to, well, we're not getting back to normal. I don't know what normal is. None of us really know what normal is anymore, right? But we just get an opportunity to restart the economy. And, you know, when we did a four-person panel, I don't remember if you watched it. It's about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago.
It was Dan, myself, Matt, and Ryan. And we just talked about some of the issues that were going on at the day. And how we should be responding to those things. And Dan declared something in that moment. He said, we're going to see a fantastic quick turnaround in jobs and opportunities for people and that kind of thing. And we just saw it this week. We saw it already for the month of May. We saw that beginning to happen. So just be encouraged. Yeah. I love spontaneity. I love your spontaneity. It's just... just overwhelming me this morning. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. You have anything else you want to palaver about? You know, my old pastor said we just spit, whittle, and chew.
Yes. Okay. If I knew what that was, I would stay up here and do that.
Okay. Can you hand me my iPad there and my water, please? Or have somebody do that? Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany. Tiffany. All right. I'm going to go to the other microphone.
Shows it. There it is. Yeah. Don't you just love power? By the way, our Comcast is down in this whole area, and that's where we get our internet provision. And so we're not broadcasting right now. We are recording this right now, so those of you who will be watching later, you'll have a chance to see it. But so if you're getting texts from somebody or calls from somebody saying, why isn't the mission on board? Well, that's why. But it will be available later today when Comcast comes back up, and we'll make it available for everybody. So there you go. You know, power is important. All right. Well, we have designed this morning a little differently intentionally for a number of reasons, but mainly because we believe that what's going on in our nation right now is important to talk about and to give it the time and the position in our service this morning that recognizes that value, I think is really important. And I'm going to begin today by giving a statement, a written statement, as the senior leader of the mission, and then Deborah and I will come and share some personal perspective. And following that, Ryan is going to speak as the leader of the local mission, and then we'll conclude our time today with worship. So I really encourage you to hang in here, you know, just stay in here and go through all of this with us today. This is a family chat, although it's going to go all over the internet, and that's okay. And just staying in there, and then we'll just have a great worship time together and conclude our time in that way. It was our intention this morning, by the way, to have Matt Gonzalez with us to share a unique perspective that he has as a Latino. And a sister church led by Jamie Van Gelder. Jamie and Nikki Van Gelder lead a church in Minnesota, right in the heart of where all of this exploded. And they've watched their city of Minneapolis just be destroyed. They say it's like a war zone. And they called and asked if Matt could come and help them process through as a church. And, you know, we just felt like, though we'd love to have him here, he'll have an opportunity to speak. He's actually going to be speaking on Father's Day. You do not want to miss that Father's Day. I'm telling you, it's in 2 weeks. He's going to be bringing his father into the mix, and they're going to be talking about their restoration as father and son and dealing with, and they'll probably talk about some racial issues that they've had to deal with growing up and that kind of thing. It's going to be powerful, powerful. But he's going to have an opportunity to do that. So we felt like this was the right time for us to partner with that church in Minneapolis. And that's where he is right now. And he's probably just about done because they're 2 hours earlier than we are. They're 2 hours later. Yeah, we're... You know, but yeah. So this format this morning is really not intended to be a dialogue with everybody, though we are desirous of helpful conversations, and we're being intentional in that. We just talked about what Ryan has put out on the Facebook, and this week we've spoken to a variety of several people of color that are part of the mission family here, along with some black leaders that have spoken into the mission over the last few years, like Michael Dalton and Sean Smith. And the dialogue has been enlightening and helpful. And again, Ryan has released a Facebook post, so if you want to grab hold of that, it'll give you some avenues on how to connect with us, because we really desire that. The issues of systemic and relational racism has once again been exposed through the tragic death of George Floyd and has brought renewed pain and increased fear into our world and especially into the black community across the nation. It is in these times like these that the church must be a clear voice and a force of hope that gives comfort to those in pain and stands as an advocate for justice and righteousness to those oppressed and disenfranchised. We are called to be world changers, not world monitors. I love that commercial where the bank guard is standing there and someone comes in to rob the bank and the couple on the floor say, "Do something about this." "Oh, I'm just a bank monitor." Well, we're not just world monitors. We're world changers. And that requires, that has a requirement to it. In 2017, when another one of these egregious events took place in our nation and shook our nation, I spoke out as the leader of the mission and posted it and spoke it from this platform. And here's just a small portion of what I wrote and stated then in 2017. "This is not the time for the church to be shaken." Quote, "This is not the time for the church to be shaken. This only adds to the problem. But to be stirred to be part of the solution. You and I are the church. We have an opportunity to be the answer where there is confusion and fear. And we must be clear in our message, so let's be clear. Racism, bigotry, and hatred, no matter where it is found, is not acceptable to us as believers. It's not a part of the kingdom we've been invited into. They are not found in Scripture as a value to be adopted. To use Scripture to validate them is inexcusable. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It is a kingdom founded on love that casts out fear and compassion that eliminates hatred. We must be clear in our actions. Our love must be in deed as well as in word." Unquote. This statement continues to be our steadfast position here in 2020. And 2020 is to be one of even clearer vision. It cannot change. That statement cannot change. It's because it's the heart of God and it's the standard of his kingdom. That will never change here. Now, there are many issues surrounding this subject. But let me just outline a little bit of what we want to begin to accomplish this morning. One is we want to start to address the critical core issues. There are so many auxiliary issues to that that if we chase the issues, we will get nowhere. But we've hit the core, the reasons, the core issues, from a biblical and kingdom perspective. Secondly, declare that love is the highest standard by which everything will be measured. Thirdly, to affirm the value that Scripture puts on human life. And to declare without reservation, now listen to me, to declare without reservation that the lives of every black man, every black woman, and black child have value to God and to the family called the mission. Black lives do matter. And this statement is not in support of any group that propagates violence or advocates racial treatment of others. Amen. It is simply a statement of fact. Yeah, come on. And to state it does not lower the value of any other people, group, or ethnicity. Yeah. This is a time when the black community needs those of every color to stand and declare boldly that their lives are valued. Man, come on. Love you. Can I kiss your cheek? I think we violated social distancing right there. And happy to do it. Number four, it's to once again make it clear that racism and bigotry will not be tolerated here. Won't be tolerated in its leadership or in any part of our culture. That we will do everything we can to identify it and eliminate it. Number five. It's to start an intentional process that takes us beyond words and into solutions. To help bring understanding and perspective that can lead to healing and restoration. Now, here's the bottom, little thing at the bottom. In our attempts to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, we will make mistakes. There will be times when we will unknowingly or unintentionally say or do something that will be misunderstood and may offend. We will do our best to be sensitive to the concerns of all. But if we deal with these things as if we are walking on eggshells, nothing of lasting value will be accomplished. So here's my request of us all. Please extend grace to anyone trying to help. And as the scripture states, be patient with all. Especially me. So let's walk in this time with the law of love as our mandate. To live toward each other in a way that reflects the love. Reflects the love described in 1 Corinthians 13. Love that's kind. Love that thinks the best. Love that's easy to forgive. Love that rejoices in truth. And love that lives in hope. As leaders of the missions, we commit ourselves to authentic Christianity, which gives an open door to all races, colors, ethnicities, and background. We will continue to be a place where bigotry, racism, prejudice, and hatred will never find a home. We are a place where anyone can find forgiveness, restoration, redemption, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Where everyone is significant and valued. This is an opportunity for God to show himself strong on our behalf. He wants to do that. Whose hearts are loyal to him. And this can be the church's finest hour. We make that decision. I stand in hope for the truth of that potential. As for me and my house, as for me and this house, we will be an answer. And I invite everyone hearing this statement, whether you're hearing it online or hearing it here this morning, to join me in prayer daily for the courage, the wisdom, and the joy of the Lord. How many could use some strength in this time? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I encourage you, pray daily for your leaders, pray for your families, pray for your governments, but pray for courage, wisdom, and the joy of the Lord to fill us all and to empower us in this pursuit. This is not the last time we will address these issues. This will be an ongoing conversation. We will get on with other things that are important. We will teach the whole word of the Lord. But we will touch this over and over and over again. As we know, it's the battle is not short. It can't be done in a moment. And our speech can only take us so far. You know, I've always confessed and written it that words create worlds, and they do. But those worlds only become effective when our actions follow our words. And that's what we want here. So I invite you to do that. So let me just... You know, this is the joy of being in this house. We know that we don't have to invite the presence of God. He promised to come. And we come with that expectation that he is here. But there are moments when we just need to say to God, you are so welcome in this house. That this house is yours. And we want you to do whatever you need to do in our lives to empower us to walk in this day, especially in this time. This is a perfect storm. With the COVID thing going on and this, the rising, the exposure again of these things. It's not that they haven't been there. They've just been more exposed because of this. And because of that, it's a perfect storm. And again, it's the time for the church to be the church and to stand up and declare what the Word of God says to us and walk and live in that. So let's just invite him. Won't you stand with me, please? And let's just invite Holy Spirit to settle into our mindsets this morning and into our heart and into our emotions. This is an emotional time for many, and rightfully so. So let's just ask him to do that, would you? So, Holy Father, thank you that you sent Jesus so we even have an opportunity today. We thank you for that. And we just say, thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving your life, laying down your life, yielding yourself to your own creation so that your own creation can know you. So we thank you for that. And we just thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we just say to you, we are your vessels. And we invite you to establish our emotions as your temple, to establish our mindsets as your temple, to establish our body, our responses, everything about us. We are your temple, Lord. Fill us. Let your Holy Spirit just come and just absolutely touch every part of our being, our mind, our will, our emotions, that today we would hear your word, even in the flawed words of humans, we would hear your word and respond to your word. And go out of this place and touch and change the world. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to invite my wife Deborah to come up. Ryan, would you please walk her here? This year we get to celebrate 49 years married. You can sit if you can. You want to sit? No. You do need that. And that doesn't count the time between where I was 9 years old and when we first met, till we married when, I won't even tell you what age we married, so that's just, we don't want to give these young people
ideas.
Any ammunition. We're young enough.
Hey, I'm the same height if I stand or sit, aren't I? All right, well, whatever. Good morning.
We just want to give you a little personal perspective on this. Yeah.
I think one of the precious things we can do in this, when things like these bring reality to light, is share our own stories with each other. Because we don't know. You know, we can look at somebody and think we know their story, but until we really hear how they were raised or their experiences, we really can't fully appreciate their journey and what, you know, what they're all about. So I'm going to, since I don't have time to listen to all of your stories this morning, I thought you might be interested in just hearing a bit of mine. That'd be all right.
Four people.
Four people, yeah. Well, the rest of you can leave.
No, no.
So I was, as many of you know, adopted. And so I have lived a very interracial family, if you will. Like, my mom was Sicilian, full-blood. Her parents were immigrants from Sicily. My father was Cherokee Indian. My sister, I don't really know what she was, but she was adopted also. But so she was quite a mixture. And so I'm basically Swedish and Irish mostly, and Scot, so kind of those
so
two
you'll
things.
Be praying for me, right?
So it was quite normal to live in a home and celebrate life with family that was quite diverse and different. You know, but that was normal. I was raised in a fishing village in the Monterey Bay. It wasn't really a town. We did have a post office where you went to get your mail, but that was about it in the fishing village. So we didn't have a high school or anything. There was a kind of a country school that I went to from kindergarten till eighth grade, and then I went to the big city to go to high school. Well, what was interesting in a fishing village in those years, in the 50s, yes, the 50s, nobody was from America. You know, I don't know if you...
They're all immigrants.
Everyone was an immigrant. All the fishermen were either Italian or Portuguese or Norwegian or Swedish. The strawberry fields were run and owned by the Japanese. The workers in the fields were Mexican. And so I went to school, a country school, and there would be two or three different of these nationalities in a classroom. Like, there was times I would be, if you want to say a white girl, I would be the only white girl in my class. But it was so normal. It was so... I grew up with accents being normal. And that's when, you know, when I finally went to high school and Dave and I got married and working in church and everybody was the same, kind of the same color and sounded the same, it really disturbed me. Like, it didn't seem normal to me. So all my closest friends, we were all of different color and different backgrounds, and it was a special, precious way to grow up. Well, what was interesting is when I graduated from eighth grade and then the next year went to high school in the city, that's when I realized my little world was different. Because the same kids I went to grade school with now were in the big city going to the high school with all these other kids that grew up in the city. all of a sudden, I remember a friend of mine that had been a friend through all through grade school. She was kind of like ignoring me, or like we'd see each other in the halls and she wouldn't make eye contact. So finally, I'm like, "What is going on? Are you mad at me or something?" She goes, "No, we can't be friends anymore." And I'm like, "Well, why can't we be friends anymore?" She goes, "Well, because I'm Mexican and you're white." And I'm like, "Well, we've always been that, you know, like nothing changed." She yeah. goes, and she used this, she goes, "Because we're different." And I go, "But we've always been different." And she said, "No, now I understand that." I think because she was probably being treated differently, she made the choice to then join the clique that was the same. And I just remember it breaking my heart. Like, I didn't understand, like, why, what changed. And I was asking the Lord, I'm like, as I was remembering these significant times in my life growing up, and I asked the Lord, was it yesterday? And I tell you this, yeah. I'm like, when did that start? You know, what started this craziness? And he said, Adam and Eve. And I'm like, well, they were kind of the same, you know what I mean? Like, there was only two of them. And he said, yes, but when they sinned, that's when they noticed they were different. And that's when they covered up what made them different. And I was so broken about that. He said, because there's four different responses for recognizing you're different. There's one, you can be ashamed that you're different. You can be afraid because they're different. You can be arrogant because you're different. Or you can love the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
And I think for me, part of the emotion of this last few weeks has been once again my frustration of, like, we've always been different. And that's what I love, is seeing yeah. the beauty. And that's why Lucretia, like, when she walked up and hugged Dave, I mean, because it's like seeing my Bella grown up and such a beautiful woman. So I just want to leave you with that. It's not seeing that we're different.
Yeah.
Is appreciating it and knowing that each, the differences is what makes us beautiful, what makes us strong, and what gives us, to me, purpose and family. So.
True unity only happens when we value difference. Diversity is essential to unity. Just take just a minute. I've said enough, but I just want to tell you how personal this time is for Deb and I. We have a African-American granddaughter that we were part of adopting from the moment she was born, taken right from the hospital by the gracious love of the mother for her daughter. And our daughter, son-in-law, began to raise her. She now lives in Alabama. If you know your history, you know that the South has been historically the poster child for racism. And that's where my granddaughter lives. I pray for her every day. I ask her, "Are you doing okay? Are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? Is that a part of what you're experiencing in your life?" And, you know, when I see the mistreatment of blacks, I think of my granddaughter. And if you say blacks are the problem, you're telling me that my granddaughter's the problem. If you say you hate blacks, you're telling me you hate my granddaughter. This is personal to us. I cannot tell you that I understand what the black community is going through right now. I cannot, because I'm not black, and I was born this way, by the way. I cannot, but I can empathize with my granddaughter, and I have a heart there, and it's personal. But it's personal in another way, too. I have a son who's a police officer. Who's a police officer who goes out there every day and puts his life on the line for everybody. To serve and to protect. He is a good man. And he's a good officer. And he trains his officers to do good. So if you tell me that the cops are the problem, you're telling me my son's the problem. If you hate cops, you're telling me you hate my son. This is personal to me. My son just, you know, they had the issue in Fairfield, the riot in Fairfield. My son had just gotten out of the hospital of having surgery. He still had a tube in his abdomen. He was off work, but he went in to serve and protect. Not long ago, he arrested someone that was doing bad stuff. His girlfriend was a nurse in a hospital in this area. She said to him, "I hope you get shot, and I hope you come into my emergency ward when I'm there, because I'm going to make sure you bleed to death." That was told to my son. And yet he went out to work the very next day to serve and to protect. So this is personal on all levels. And believe me, I don't have to stand here and try to say, okay, which side do I take? I don't have to do that. Because I stand with every black man, woman, and child that has been abused. I stand with every one of them that has been disenfranchised. I stand with them. And I stand with every honest police officer who's out there trying to do his very best to serve and protect the people of our land. I'm not conflicted. I'm not conflicted. And I stand against racism in any form, among any people. If it's a police officer, he needs to be dismissed. He needs to be prosecuted if he's done something wrong. But if he's a black man or a black woman or a black person that has gone and killed a police officer that is out doing his duty. I was so crushed by that black police officer. You've seen it. A retired police officer was trying to help people. And the rioters killed him. I stand against that kind of thing. But I stand with the black community who wants to see change take place in this world. They need to stand up. They need to declare it. Because we won't hear it if they don't. And I stand with the police officers who are trying to do their best and help in our world. No confliction there. So it's personal. This is our perspective, or some of our perspective. Yours is valued too. We want to hear it. We'll be listening. In just a minute, Ryan's going to come up and just share a few things. I've watched Ryan in this season. He's always had a very compassionate heart. And I'm seeing it demonstrated in a fresh new way. But before he comes, we want to take an opportunity to receive our tithes and offerings as a part of worship and as a part of declaring our unity with the house. So if you would prepare your offerings and let's stand up together. Al, if you'll just prepare a song there, a good offering song, whatever that is. And, you know, there are places to give all around so that you can social distance. There are boxes up front here where you can place your offering. So up front here or in these other locations. So we're going to just give you a time in just a moment to do that. So I just want to say thank you, Father, that you declare that you are the King of all kings. You're the Lord of all lords. You are the master of this house. And we now respond in worship to you as our giving. As people of the house, we give tithes and offerings to you. And we do it not only as worship to you, but we do that primarily. But we also give it as a statement of our unity in the house. For your purposes, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this house as it's being done in heaven. Amen. So if you'll just go right now and find those places. If you do it on phone, I understand. Just do it on phone. Do it on your phone. Or if you've done it online, that's great. But if you haven't and you want to give, please feel free to do that right now for just a moment. Just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And you can sit back down. Time during the worship time tonight, if you want, today you want to give, you still can do that. We'll just leave these places available. I want to thank my son for the way he has walked through this time, and I it is my pleasure to say he is a son in whom I am well pleased. Would you please welcome Ryan?
Thank you. It's always nice to hear good things when you come up, but it does make you a little emotional. So thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, lady. You're going to get your chance today to talk, so keep on talking. No, we are going to... Actually, Natasha... graciously is going to help me today, so you're going to get to hear from her here in a few minutes. She's got her tiara on. I love it. I do miss the tutu, though. I was kind of hoping the tutu would be out today. Soon? All right. Well, it's good morning. Good to see you. Just to kind of maybe give you a little bit of how we operate, I just mentioned to Tiffany and Mom, like, okay, what do I need to, how do I do this now? Because we don't compare notes. We do have an idea. We did talk about this morning, but we didn't say, okay, you say this, we're going to say this. So give me some grace here if I fumble through my notes a little bit, because they've kind of set some stuff up that now I don't need to set up. So, but let's... Here we go. This is why I put up my notes, so I wouldn't forget. As we've mentioned several times, that we do want to hear from you. Another way that we're setting up that we can hear from you is that we're setting up some Zoom calls for you to jump on and talk and hear your story. So you can sign up to get those links for the Zoom call on our website. So just go onto our website. I think all it asks is for your name and email address, and then we'll be emailing you out the Zoom information so you can jump on those calls, so we can hear from you, hear your story, hear your perspective, and help us walk through this together. Okay? Sound good? Will you do that? Good, because we want to hear from you. If you got your Bibles, I want to kind of set this as our tone for this part. It's Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So, you know, growing up, you always hear racism is a disease. How many have heard that before? Trust me, I understand the heart behind it. But a disease happens to you. And it could be from your DNA. You can inherit it. It can be part of your environment that you just grew up in, and because of that, you have a disease. The problem with seeing it as a disease is you don't have to take responsibility for it. It's just something that happened to me. Oh, I act that way because that's just how I was raised. That's the environment I grew up in. Racism is demonic. That is what it is. And that's where it comes from. So we here at the Mission don't say racism is a disease. We say it's demonic. And that's how we're going to deal with it. So just keep that in mind when we talk. Again, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the demonic. So today, if you can throw that slide up, Jason, for me. Probably many of you have seen this. We see you, we hear you, we stand with you. So I'm going to use this today to kind of help give everybody, help us as a community, of how do we function as a family? How does the kingdom, how do we function as a kingdom person in this time? And a lot of this they have already touched on, which I so appreciate. So we're going to say it again. And we're going to say it again and again and again. So if I seem redundant, I'm doing it on purpose. But it all started in Genesis. You know, God had a conversation about you before he created you. The human race started with a conversation. And it's recorded here in Genesis 1:26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all over the wild animals and over all creatures that move among the ground.'" Aren't you glad he didn't stop at a conversation? He didn't just say, "Hey, Jesus, I think it might be a good idea we make mankind in our image." But then in verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." He didn't stop at just a conversation. He did something about it. He didn't just have the conversation. He said, "Oh, this is what I want to do." And then he actually did it. So I need your help this morning. Are you guys willing to help this morning? Okay, I mean, actually, really, some of you are going to actually have to do something. I promise you, I won't make you talk. But I want to just do an illustration to help illustrate this a little bit. So if you're willing to help, and we're going to have to do this social distancing style, so we stay 6 feet apart. But is there anybody here that's, like, Canadian? Anybody? I thought, anybody, come on, don't be shy. All right, is there any, I know I wasn't going to dime her out. I'll let her be there. I wish Stephen was here. Stephen is a good friend of mine, but he's not here today, or else I would make him come stand here, but he's not here. Is there anybody Native American? Would you be willing, would you be willing to come up and stand up here? Back in the, come on up, please. Somebody, or a couple of you would be great. If you're Mexican, I need somebody that can represent our Mexican people. All right. So just kind of stand along the front, just, again, social distance, please. Bear with me. I will miss an area. I think you'll understand. How many South American heritage? From South America. Anybody in from South America? Come on down, Bonita. How about European? Any Irish, English, I just need one. I just need one. All right, thank you, Sandy. How about like Mediterranean? Any Mediterranean? Mediterranean? Anybody? So Italian, Greek. If you don't know, okay, if you raise your hand, that means you're going to be willing to come up and stand. So Chris, yeah, I was talking to you, Chris. Yes, you raised your hand. Come on down. Middle Eastern. And I know I'm being real general, and there's several, but we do have some time restraints. Your kids are in the building, and we love them. So anybody from the Middle East? Ramius? Awesome. You don't have to come, but your friend dimed you out, so. Northern Africa. Anybody from Northern Africa? No? Or Central Africa? Awesome. Come on up. Or Southern Africa? The reason I split it, because we all know there are multiple ethnics in a very big continent. So I'm trying to do my best to hit as many as we can here. How about Asia? Chinese? Filipino? We're going to do Pacific Islanders, too. Come on down. I heard it's something Filipino. Oh, Clark. Holding out on me. And I know I've missed several more, but I think you're starting to get the point that God created color. And he said he created us in his image. So, this is his image. And when you don't see somebody, you don't see their color. But when you see them, you get to see their color, and you see an image of God that they can only bring. So when you don't see somebody's color, when you don't really look at them, you don't get to see God's image. And we as a church stand firm that we see your color. We see your culture, and we love you. We love your color. We love your culture. We love the beauty of you. We love the beauty that God made you and how he created you, and that you are an image of God that we need in this house, in this nation. So continue to be you. And for everybody in this church, see their color. See who they are. Don't be afraid to see them. Can you do that as a church? Give these guys a hand. They are beautiful. Thank you guys so much. You know, in Revelation, it talks about every nation, every tribe, every people, every language will be there. God's very particular about the words he uses in the Bible. He could have just said, everybody will be there. But he made a point to show that every color, every nation, every tongue would be there. So let's follow in his example. So let's move on to we hear you. And mom and dad have already told kind of their story. So really quickly, just some reference to Jesus did this really, really well. When you have time, read through the story of the woman at the well. Jesus was traveling through Samaria. He stopped at a well, sent his disciples off. And he had a conversation with a woman he wasn't supposed to. She was of the wrong race, and she was a woman. But she has a conversation, and through that, healing comes. She goes back to her village, and they come out to see Jesus, and there's a whole revival that breaks out in the city. And this is why there's such an impact from Jesus. This is in John 4:39. It says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And this is what her testimony was. He told me everything I ever did. He knew her story. And that's what changed a whole town. Because Jesus was willing to know somebody's story. He was willing to hear her story. And when you hear somebody's story, you get to know them. You get to see the beauty in them. So today I've asked a couple people to tell their story that have been a part of our congregation. So the first one, if you can welcome Adam Gerardo up to the stage. Adam is an amazing young man. I call him young man because he's kind of close to my age, so he's a very young man. Have a seat, bud. We've known the Gerardo family for a very long time. And I've known Adam probably now for 20-something years. I was his, probably when you were about sixth grade.
He was my sixth grade basketball coach.
Yeah. So we've known each other for a long time and have lived some life. But I know there's stuff about his story that I don't know. Because that's the beauty of it. No matter how long you know somebody, you don't really know all their story. So you always want to ask more. So I've asked Adam today just to kind of just share his story. So you guys get to know him. I know him a little bit, or quite a bit, but I know I'm going to learn some more too. But so you get to know him and see the beauty in him. So why don't you just kind of share your story a little bit?
Totally. I want to start kind of with a little bit of a funny family story I have. When I was in... sorry, Mom.
Well, she's probably told plenty of you
about
you.
Yeah, she probably has,
yeah. So.
There's a family story of when I was in preschool. My best friend was named Justin. He was black. He was a little black kid. And one day, my dad, Joe was up here, and he came to pick me up. And me and my dad don't look like each other. I would say more white, and he definitely looks more Mexican. And Justin looks at me when my dad come pick me up and goes, "Your dad looks just like my dad." And I just thought that was just the funniest story he ever said. I was like, we do. But my story is unique. You know, this last week I've been really just trying to process. I've been staying really silent and just looking inward to myself. Because this isn't the first time this has happened since I was an adult. I've had plenty of time to see what's happened, you know, over and over and over again. And I just really started looking inside myself and just processing. And it reminded me of a story that happened. I run the Starbucks right down the road over on Leisure Town. And the vision...
Which is amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's kind of our second office.
Yeah.
So if we're not at the church, that might probably be where we'll be.
Go check it there, yeah. But actually, what's funny is I came in today and I saw what was written on the back wall when I came in. It said, "Welcome home." And that's actually been the vision for my Starbucks for the last 3 years. We were challenged to kind of create a culture around your store, and that was it for me. And one day, I work in the lobby. I don't have an office, so I'm on my computer, and I really get to know my customers. And I have one customer in particular, and he had been in there every day studying for his master's degree. He was older, and we just got to know each other. He was a brother of faith. We got to know that. You know, I kind of put myself out there a little bit in the corporate world, and we just got to know each other really, really well. One day he comes rolling in, just he's heated a little bit, and he's like looking for me. And he just comes. He goes, "I need to talk to you right now." And I'm like, "Okay. What's up?" And he goes, "Something happened to me that has never happened to me before, and I just need to vent to somebody to let you know." And he sat down, and to let you know a little bit about him, he's probably about 55, 6 years old, getting his master's degree, and he's black. And he said, "I was dropping my wife off at work over at Kaiser. We rode together, walked her in, was walking out, and I was getting in my car, and somebody accused me of trying to break into their car and just really confronted him. And he just came in and was like, 'I just need to tell you.' And we talked for probably about 45 minutes. But what I loved about that was that he trusted me. And that because I had welcomed him and welcomed him into my store, but really into our home, because that's what it is. He had built a trust with me. And there's been times where it's been reversed, where I've been able to have him speak into my life about something I was needing help with. And he pops in every day with his wife on his way in, say hello. One day I didn't see him like in 2 weeks, and we like did a little dance in the lobby to the music. Like, I really love this guy. But it's about like building relationships with people. And I think that's what's really, really important is, like Ryan said when he had everybody up here, embrace the differences in people and love them. That's what makes them them. And I think about it like this is I don't think about my dad, Joe, as being Mexican or a different shade of color. He's just my dad. My aunts and my uncles, I don't think of them any differently. My kids don't see my dad or my mother-in-law's husband and look at them any differently. And I want to hold on to that. I want to hold on to that innocence of, I just see people that we love, right? And then seeing the best sides of people too. And the other challenge I've been trying to have this week is to not judge. That's what I've been really trying to process through, is I could see something and have an opinion about it. And I'm really trying to not have an opinion, but learn.
That's really good.
I'm getting to know people. I'm asking questions. I'm researching. I'm not just listening to what I'm being fed in the news or what I'm being fed on social media. I'm trying to go into my own avenues of getting to know the reasons behind things so that way I can help and make a difference. And that's what's really been impacting me is I want to help. I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be a bystander. And I want to help do whatever I can. So that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, what you're saying is so powerful that you got to know his story. And because you knew his story, he trusted you to open up. And I think that's just a lesson we're all learning is take the chance to learn somebody's story. Don't shy away from it, but go after it. Thank you so much, Adam. But before you leave, talk about your family real quick. Your wife, which is amazing.
Oh, my wife, Paris. Hi,
She's my next door neighbor office. She's amazing.
And she's really awesome.
So tell her just about it, so people know your family just a little bit.
All right.
So when they see you, I know you're beautiful.
Yeah.
I know when people see you, they see how beautiful you are.
I get it.
But they might want to know about your family.
Okay, gotcha.
So they don't think you're just the single dad with
single
kids.
Single dad, right.
And because your wife's all the way up on stage.
Totally.
And then the opposite, when you're working and your wife
is here
with kids.
Herself. Totally.
She looks like the single mom with
kids.
Totally,
right. So that's my wife, Paris, right there. She sings and leads worship up here some weeks. She's awesome. I got two awesome kids, Stella and Noah, who are sitting over there. Stella just had her birthday 2 days ago. Happy birthday, Stella.
Happy birthday. I heard the slide was amazing.
Oh, that slip and slide, it was so much fun. It was really hard to get up there for me, but it was fun. I still had a good time. And then my parents over here, who really just started this whole thing, Joe and Colleen Gerardo over there, they're pretty awesome. And fun fact, they got 7 kids. I'm the oldest of them, so that's kind of fun.
And you don't lord that over them at all.
I don't. No, it's funny is sometimes when I meet people and they realize that my parents are like Joe and Colleen, they're like, oh, you're the other son that like they didn't even know like comes or like that they know was part of that. It's kind of fun. But yeah, so I love my brothers and sisters. Let's see if I can name them. Alexio, Megan, Gabrielle, Janina, Matthew, and Isabella. So yeah, I got all those.
Hey, good job.
Thank you.
All right.
So, yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah, you're amazing family. We'll give Adam a hand. Thank you so much, Adam. Love you. And your basketball game's beautiful, too.
Thank you. I try.
Because you actually passed me the ball. If you don't notice, I am white. And I play basketball. And we have a lot of fun. When this COVID thing's over, just a plug here, we play basketball on Monday nights in the gym, and we have people from all over the community play, so we'll let you know when we can start playing again. It's amazing. We have a lot of fun, and Adam helps me with that too. So, all right. Miss Natasha, come on down. How you doing?
Contrary to popular belief, I am really, like, I have, like, the worst stage fright. Like, most people do not understand that.
That's what connects us.
I know.
Connects us well.
Yes.
So before you get started, uh-huh. I've never met your father, correctly?
No.
Correct? But me and her father having a very strong bond.
Yes. Loves him, and he has never met him.
We've never met, but we love each other and have a very strong bond because we're very wise men.
Yes.
Because we choose to root for winners.
Yes.
And our common bond just so happens to be the Super Bowl winning Chiefs.
Yeah.
Do it. Yes. Yes. Mahomes fan.
If people don't even understand how many times I change clothes today, and I think I end up with this shirt on purpose underneath here. But anyway, it's Jesus. He's sneaky. Don't bend.
Well, Natasha, thank you for willing to share this morning. So, tell us some about your. I know you have. I know a little bit about your story. You have a wild story, and you have some funny stories.
Yeah.
But just share some with us today.
I don't even know, like, what, you know. I've been, like, thinking about this for the last couple of days, and I'm like, Lord, look. I don't know. It's very interesting listening to everyone talk and their perspective, and I normally don't get involved. Like, my dad laughed at me the other day because I returned a comment to what he was speaking on, and he just was like, you never say anything. Because my perspective is so interesting. You know, my birth mother was a, you know, Black Panther. Grew up in L.A., was in all the riots and all that. But when I found myself homeless, you know, my adoptive parents, my adoptive mom is white. And I was raised by, you know, a woman who taught me to hate white people. And then I ended up with a white mother. And... You know, so...
And just so you know, I didn't know this until after I asked her to talk this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm learning, too.
Yeah, so most people don't understand. Like, I've always had this very interesting perspective, also by the grace of God, because I've always been able to kind of be in my own bubble and see things how I see it. So today, when everything's going on, I just, you know, I watched, like, 3 days ago, watched my white mother explain to her Black son the fact that he's been living under white privilege. Like, I watched her trying to explain this to her child, and it blows my mind, you know, like her trying to explain to him, like, look, you have to see this, because as you get more and more into the world, it won't be this easy, you know? It won't be easy for people to not see that you're Black. Like, yes, you have a white mother, but you're not allowed to be half. You are a Black man in today's society. And this is my white mama telling you this. And I'm like, don't hear mama. Like, you know, like, okay, you know? But then also at the same time, people who don't live in our household, you know, my mom made a post on Facebook, and, you know, because she's at the point where she's fed up, and someone responded and almost called my mama Karen. And I was like, I almost forgot I love Jesus for like 3 seconds. Because I will fight you about my mama. Like, don't do that. Like,
and there is videos.
Yes. Yes. You know? It's real life, you know? So it's all very interesting. It's all very intriguing watching all of this from my perspective. And even God had to heal me of my ashamedness of being Black. And how long, you know, I had to come out of this place of caring if people thought that I was too loud or too animated or all the things, you know. And the more I healed I get, I tell God, the more healed I get, the more dramatic it becomes. And it's just a lot, you know, and it's way too much. And I'm always like, Lord, I'm too much. And he goes, so you're never allowed to tell me you're not enough again, you know, because it's like, it's a lot. So now I'm just in this process and realizing that it's all intended. Like, God intended for me to come through my mother and be there under her and her perspective and understand her perspective. Like, I get it. You have a perspective of what you went through in L.A. during the riots and, you know, coming out of segregation and all those things. And at the same time, you know, I have a white mother who's married to a Black man who, you know, whose parents still struggle, you know, with ideologies, you know? But as I'm sitting there listening, God kind of gave me this, showed me how to better understand it, I guess. Not for me, I think more so for what I was going to say up here. Think about it like a sozo. You know, like legit, think about it like a sozo. It's not a group, it's a person. Everybody, like, yes, there are individuals in these groups, regardless of which group. Yes, people act out, you know? We all act out when you've been hurt, when there's roots, whether it come through the bloodline, whether it's something that was taught to you, whether it was a reaction to an action, there's roots there. There's seeds that have been planted. No matter how many generations they went back, no matter how long ago it is, if I come in to get a sozo, or if you see me manifesting or whatever, are you going to judge me because of how mine shows up? Or are you going to look at it and go, Lord, let's get to the root of this? Like, you know, like not respond to how they're choosing to react, or not respond to how it's manifesting, because mine may manifest this way and yours may manifest that way, but let's get back to the root of it, because that's where the healing truly comes from. And it's vice versa, you know. I was telling, you know, I took my best friend's wife, and I'm like, you know, we have these conversations, and I have no racial boundaries, and I tell people all the time, like, let me just warn you, in my house, we don't, you know, I joke about it. I freak people out when I'm with my mom all the time, when we're in grocery stores and stuff, and I get to putting stuff up there while the lady's checking her out, and she's looking at my mom, and she's looking at me, and she's, like, too scared to ask my mom if it's okay in front of me, and then, you know, me being petty, I go, oh no, she paying for all my stuff, you know? And then, now the cashier's completely freaked out. And my mom's like, And my mom's like, she belongs to me, it's fine, it's my child, you know? And she's like, why do you mess with people? I'm like, why not? It's fine, you know? You gotta have fun with it. Like, you know, and so I have no racial boundaries, so like they said earlier, forget, if I'm ever offensive, I apologize, like, because it's not on purpose. I see race. I love it. Like, I love the differences, you know? I love the fact that we're all different, you know? One of my best friends just sat up and told me, like, she was like, friend, I am jealous of black women. You are allowed to be so much. And, like, I was told all my life growing up, tone it down, pull it together, don't be so loud, don't be so dramatic, you know? And she's like, and now I have all these black women around me, and she said, I think it's on purpose God do this to me, to put me around black women, because it makes me more of myself, and it allows me to be different. And, you know, so when people don't, they're like, oh, I don't even see your race. I'm like, don't not see my race. Like, it's a big part of me. It gives me allowances to be all that I am able to be, you know what I mean? And it allows us to fit together and do different things and be different things. My friend yesterday, we were talking about the whole white privilege thing, and she, you know, and I don't expect nobody to get it, but she was able to be, like, to see my black privilege in play, in person. And she was like, was that black privilege? Like, and she was scared, like, you know, like, it was that. I said, that was totally black privilege. That was it, right there. Yep. And I didn't choose it, you know? I didn't choose black privilege. White people don't choose white privilege. It's just part of being who we are. It's not a negative thing. It's not a curse word. It's nothing to be thrown at people, like, as if it's something that they bought in a store and now they're wearing it pridefully. You know, no, it's what we are, and it's what we carry, and it's just part of it, you know? It is what it is. Own it. All of it. Don't be ashamed of it.
It's awesome. Isn't she amazing?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't stand up. Oh, no.
Yeah, own it.
Yeah, I know.
Own it.
I know. I know. It's so good.
Love you.
I love you guys, too. Thank you. I love my church. I love all you guys, and I'm so proud of the strides that you guys are doing and what you're doing and how you're going about doing it. You guys, be willing to be wrong. Be willing to make mistakes. Be willing to ask questions, because I don't think healing is going to happen in big places. It's going to happen in one-on-one conversations. It's going to happen when you're willing to be wrong and ask the question. You know, when you're willing to say, you know, look at, like, you know, I don't even know what that means. And that's fine. guess what? Say it. I love the fact that you guys are using the word black too. Like, I'm like, yes. Like, like, don't, like, just go for it. Go after it. Go after it, all of it. Like, I'm so serious. If and I, and like I said, like, I'm here. Like, I am not the voice of black people. I am not the voice of black women. I am my voice, you know, and I am my experience.
That's good.
But yeah. I am more than willing to offer up what I have if anyone wants to talk. I know people have reached out and I've had some great conversations with some great people. But, you know, we all have our seeds and our roots, and that has come through our bloodline. And it's not on purpose. And it's not racism. It's constructs that have been built up over time. It's roots and things that we need to address one-on-one and talk about it and be willing to be wrong and be willing to say, I don't think I have white privilege. What does that even mean? And it helped me to understand, you know? And you learn and you grow and you become amazing. And then we begin to fit together and we begin to remove the coverings and realize that God made us to fit together so that we can better do this thing.
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Natasha. Whew. I don't think I can say anything after that. If I can have the band come up, we're going to enter into a time of worship, but we do want to hit real quick this "We Stand With You." You know, as the church, we need to physically stand with people. We need to physically and emotionally and with our voice stand with the black community right now. So we need to do that and figure. Sorry, I think the battery went out on that one. We need to do that. And we are going to do that. And we're going to figure out how to do that together. But we also, as a community of believers, we know that we don't fight against flesh and blood. But we have to go after this demonic thing. And we do that in worship. We do that in prayer. And we do that with standing with each other. So I'm going to read all of Ephesians 6:10 through 18, which we read part of it earlier, and then we're going to have a time to stand together. So this is Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can exhaust all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So racism is a scheme of the devil. And we're going to stand as a church against it. And what we can do in our communities, but we're also going to stand in worship and in prayer against it. Jason, can you show that first picture? So this is, I show this because the world right now is taking the lead on this, which I so appreciate, that cops and protesters are, in an effort to show unity and to stand together, they're kneeling together. And there's another picture too. Go ahead, Jason, you can show that one. But they're also doing other things too. They're dancing together. They're shaking their hands. They're hugging each other. They're figuring out how to say, "We stand with you." So today, We're going to do that. And with COVID, I know it's a little awkward. How do you respond in COVID? So I'm going to give a few suggestions. I personally right now, I'm going to kneel to show that I'm standing with our Black community. Some of you might want to just stand, literally stand to say I'm standing with. Some of you put your hand on your heart. Do what you think would show that you're standing, that we're standing as a family together. I know some of you physically can't stand or kneel, so do what God's asking you to do. And we're going to take a few minutes to do this as a family. And during this time, I want you to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to ask these two questions. God, what is there anything in my heart that needs to change? Holy Spirit, what in my heart that needs to change? And then I want you to ask the question, Holy Spirit, what can I do to bring change in the world that I influence? Because remember, God had a conversation, but then he did something about it. So right now as the band plays, we're going to take a few minutes to stand together. And this is about you right now. This isn't about your neighbor or what the person across the room is doing. This is about you and the Holy Spirit having a conversation and showing that you're willing to stand with our community, with the people around us. So the band's going to keep playing, and we're going to take 3 or 4 minutes to stand with each other. So ask the Holy Spirit how you can show that. Whether you stand, you kneel, you put your hand on your heart, you raise your hand, whatever that is, that's your decision on how to do that. But let's do that and have a conversation with the Holy Spirit.